Yes. Hi. Good morning. I'm in Lusaka, Zambia, and I'm not sure how much longer I'll be here. So I wanted to give you a little more background information into the book, The God Chord. Sort of set the stage a bit more. I began about 7 years ago. I just got the idea to experiment a bit with the three major chords. I mentioned this, I think, on a recording I put on the website. So basically what makes, I kept quiet about this for a long time because in what are called the mystery schools, some people call them secret societies, information was meant to be kept private and not to be breached, not to be shared with the public. So I am discovering a lot of things that no one had discovered before. I didn't think it was right to publicize it, but after some time, I finally decided I would go ahead with it anyway. And given the fact that a lot of stuff is already available on the internet, for example, the Hermeticum, which was discovered in Alexandria around the 2nd century or so, that had been kept secret for a long time. That's public. There's so much public now anyway. I finally decided to go ahead with it. And I had kept notes all this time. I just decided to make it into a book. What makes my writing style maybe unique, I'm the only author, and I've read a lot of books, I'm the only one who has written in this format, is I put down all of my dead end streets. In other words, I'm researching it while I'm writing the book. I don't wait till I've got the final end product. So I can be researching something and then show how I'm researching this and say, yes, this appears to be the case. And then I'll discover, you know what, this is a dead-end street. This is not a legitimate theory. I was wrong. So if you go through my book, a number of places I said, look, I was wrong. My conclusion was incorrect. But I put down my research anyway, and the threads that I followed going down that street, showing that there's some theories here worth developing, but they developed, they're not plausible in the end. But I learned a lot in the process. And so, like, for example, in schools, before we had computers and the internet, a teacher could tell if a student was cheating on the exam if they stole the results from the teacher's desk, or they stole the questions and they got someone else to find the answers for them. What they would do, for example, in algebra, if there was an algebra question, they would ask you, how did you arrive at this conclusion? In other words, you do the work to get there. And you couldn't show that, it would be proof that you didn't have the answer, that you stole the answers. Well, I've done all the work, all the steps, all along the way, and so anyone could cross-examine me on any of these points, and I'll tell you how I got there. And also the sidebars, we'll say, the dead-end streets, the theories that I've shown, that I've studied, which ended up not being plausible. An example of this is that the notational system we have with the groups of three and two black keys, and the notational system A through G, is quite, in one sense, it's not logical. And why have sharps and flats in the first place? If there's 12 notes, why just not number them or name them 12 notes? You get rid of all the flats and sharps, right? And then in music theory, and I think it's, is it seven sharps or seven flats? You have a double. There's one that's a double sharp. It must be seven sharps then, because the leading note then becomes a double sharp. I'm just going from memory now. So logically then, if you have 12 notes, why make seven out of them and not all these accidentals? Doesn't it just confuse things? So this is my line of reasoning at first, and I pursued something, one out of a number of sections in this book, an alternative notational system that would include 12 notes. And then I base this, among other things, on the zodiac and how that there's three zodiacal houses which are eliminated, which you see anyway. And the argument is it's between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, or it could be the last three of the year, which would be the autumn equinox up to the winter solstice. There's two different schools of thought on this, and you'll find this in astrology. So I began to model a notational system based on the astrological houses, and I drew some parallels to these. The issue is what to name the notes. And then how do you transfer that onto, we have what's called the grand staff now. You have the bass clef and the treble clef, which is an aberration from what's called the grand staff, which is originally 11 lines. But how do you then transfer the system that I had done onto a conventional system? In other words, all the scores now and all of the stuff written by the great composers were using the bass and treble clef. How do you then change what's already existing? It's very difficult to do, if not impossible. So I developed a system, and then later on I began to ponder things some more. And you know what? The system that we have, which appears to be incorrect, the groups of three and two black keys and the notational system, you know what? It actually has a purpose. It's actually there for a reason, and it fits another model, a greater model. And so I began to say, you know what? I think I was wrong when I put forth this other notational system. Not that it doesn't have merit and validity, because it does. It has an argument for it, that it's simpler and it's easier to use and it's not ambiguous. But yet the older system of accidentals also has some truth buried in it. And I was wondering why if it just wasn't designed that way, even though it's not the, you can argue against it, there's some things that are hidden or buried within it. And I go into more details on this in the book. So a lot of my stuff is the idea is to put ideas out there to get people's minds working as to possibilities. And my hope is that other people, because there's no end to the possibilities. I mean, music being a manifestation of number, mathematics has no end. You can do theoretical mathematics for, you could live many lifetimes and never exhaust the subject. So it is with music. And I don't have the time to pursue all of this as I would like. I mean, the investigation, there's a lot of reading, a lot of calculating and stuff. But I'm hoping that other people can read through my stuff, even if I have presented theories, which I have, which are incomplete, but they're theories, and they're partial theories, but they're ideas. And I put them all down, and I'm hoping that there's other people who can take these ideas and build on them and develop these concepts, that I am not able to do all of this myself. So this is a big part of it, and just put information out there and see what happens with it, because there's a lot of people who have ideas as well, and they don't know what to do with them. So these are some of the things that make my work interesting. I did look at some other things. For example, when I began investigating this, one of the first books I read was called The Tarot of the Bohemians. I became fascinated with the tarot, and I did a lot of research into the mainly the major arcana, almost entirely the major arcana. I spent months on this. It was fascinating, and I like it. So there was a famous book written called The Tarot of the Bohemians by Pappus. That was his pen name. His real name was Eugene N. Kaus, if I'm pronouncing that right. And this is a book, it was written in the late 1800s. It was intended for initiates of a mystery school, or as sometimes called, secret society. It has since been made public. But what he did in this book, he looked at the Jewish tetragrammaton, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh system, which was not Jewish at all. It was parasited from another source, but that's not relevant here. The point is that he looked at the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh as a mathematical formula. So I took that and I applied that to the major arcana. I found it amazing, and then I also applied that to the menorah, you know, the candelabra in the Jewish religion. I found some amazing parallels, and then I also took this same concept and applied it to music. I made some amazing discoveries there. So I also looked at pi in my book. I have a section on pi, you know, 3.14257, whatever it is. And I analyzed the decimal places of pi to look for some patterns. So a lot of what I did was just random looking. I don't even know what I'm looking for. I was just experimenting to see what can come up. I made some amazing observations then. The same with phi, 1.61, whatever it is. Phi is also known as the golden ratio. It's predominantly used in ancient archaeology, the Giza pyramids, the Pantheon. A lot of great structures use the concept of phi, not to be confused with pi. So I analyzed phi as well, and I looked at different systems of mathematics and see how this calculated in with music. So there's a lot more involved in this with just the chord. And then you have different modalities within music. You have different I mentioned this briefly on the on one recording that I made that I put on the website, the God Chord, how that the intervals have significance, but those intervals in a different context, in a different modality, have different implications. And then you have cross implications, and those cross implications with those other cross implications can form patterns and characters, so to speak, in and of themselves, which is a very interesting subject. So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. So if you're looking at selling the book or promoting the book, I'd be the best one to interview as far as the knowledge is concerned and the information there, because I'm an expert on the subject. I'm not saying that in an arrogant kind of a way. It just happens to be the case that I'm an expert because I did all the work from the grassroots up, so I know the subject intimately like no one else does. So if you're wanting more of a promo for the book, what it's about, how I got to it, the musical aspects of it. I have studied music in the past at the university level. I've done some arranging myself. I've done some improvising. I've documented, I've scored out my own improvisations. So I've done a lot of work with music. I'm an organist by training. I was trained on the pipe organ, studied music theory, harmony. I'm a great lover of the music of Bach. Counterpoint, which is the most advanced form of music that exists. So this is a passion of mine. It's not just, I'm going to write a book and a lot of people just, I'm going to try to write a book to make some money. That money had nothing to do with it originally. It wasn't until years later that I thought, you know what, I can use some money, I can publish this too. But that wasn't my main motivation at all. But if we can make this work sometime, it's the information in this book that makes it valuable. And some of it's I put down as more or less factual as I see it, with a caveat. I could still be wrong. And I put that out there that I've been wrong many times before thinking that I was correct. But I found out later that I was still wrong. So I like to look at this more like, here's my understanding of the situation as I understand it now, based on the facts that I have, based on the information that I have. Here's what I'm presenting to you as being. What's interesting here, though, is that having said what I've just said, as far as theory is concerned, when you get into mathematics is an exact science, and you can't really argue with the numbers. So 7 times 7 is 49. 3 plus 12 is 15. You can't argue with that. So as far as the God Chord itself is concerned, the Holy Grail, so to speak, that I've not put on there yet, and I've done several charts and diagrams on that as well. And I want to even do some more charts on that as well. But that is not arguable in the same sense as theory can, because it involves numbers. I mean, notes and intervals are mathematical formulas. And when these mathematical formulas fit, it's hard to argue against them. It's based, I guess, in one sense, on the odds of probability. So as an example, if you were visiting a strange city and you wanted to know where the local, police station was, never been to the city before, so if you stop someone on the street, you say, excuse me, sir, can you please tell me where the police station is? And they give you this direction. You don't know if that advice is correct or not. They could be making it up. So what is there, a 50-50 chance of that being correct or not? I don't know. Let's say you randomly, without the first person seeing you, you go a few blocks away and you randomly come up to someone else and you say, can you please tell me where the police station is located? And they give you that identical address. Chances are you have the correct address, because how could two random people, independent of each other, just make up the same false story? So chances are it's correct. But if you did that 6 or 7 times, getting the same answer, now you know it's correct. The odds of it being wrong are so astronomically remote. So it's the same with the mathematical formulas. If you test a theory out, here's a chord, here's a formula, okay, it may or may not be right. But if you have a cross-check, the odds of it being wrong are quite remote. You have another cross-check and another cross-check intersecting these formulas, these number patterns intersecting. How can it be wrong? So this is the argument that I'm putting forth. You can argue the theoretical aspects, but you can't argue the numbers, and it's based on the odds of probability. So anyway, this just gives you a little bit of a background here. This is the strength of my argument here. of the chord, of the mathematics involved in the music? How can it just be by chance? How can all this be by chance? When you look at this and you add to the music, you add pi, you add phi to this, you add these formulas based on these things, and you add it all together and they intersect, how can it be wrong? So this is a challenge that I put out there. We might argue the spiritual implications. That's maybe a little more a little more subjective, but it's pretty hard to argue the mathematics behind this. So, well, this just gives you a brief introduction to the subject. So if it's something you want to pursue more and find out more about, I'm the one to ask. And I'd be glad to, because this is a passion of mine. I love talking about this stuff because I just love it anyway. I mean, I would do it for free. If there was no money in this book, I would have it published for free anyway, just because I want to get this out there. And I love dialoguing with people. I love learning from other people. I just love this. It's an obsession of mine. So, yeah. So if you have any questions, let me know, okay? Thank you very much.